Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Hebrews chapter 12. We talked about what it means to be part of God's family, to belong to God's family. And Samantha was talking about that as children who belong to God. He puts his name on us in baptism. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today in the book of Philemon. So I don't know how much you know about the book of Philemon. Apollo read 21 verses from the book of Philemon. There's only 24. So you had just about the whole book today. So your neighbor asked you, what did you do in church today? We read a whole book of the Bible, just about. Okay, so this is a brief letter that Paul writes to his friend, brother in Christ, Philemon, in the city of Colossae. Okay, that's where Philemon lives. That's where this runaway slave Onesimus is from. And you might know the book of Colossians is written to the church in Colossae. So Paul sends this letter. The interesting thing, I don't know what you think about this. To me, it's interesting. Is Paul writing the letter of Colossians first and then sending this letter along to his friend with Philemon? Or is Paul writing this letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus and sending this general letter along to the whole congregation? I don't know. But he sends this letter. And this is a personal letter to Philemon. And he also adds, this is a community, this is a church. He also adds in Apphia and Archippus, whose name we stumble over every time we read this. I mean, that Paul the Great, but please. You know, you come across these names like, okay, who are these people? All right. So I think it's probably, it might be his wife and son, but in any case. And to all the people who met in Philemon's house church. And then he writes a separate letter to all the Colossians. Now, Paul is writing for a particular purpose. We talked about how we belong to God, how Christ puts his name on us in holy baptism. Well, that's not the end of the story. There's living in Christ. In this life and in the life to come, you've been bought by the blood of Christ, so you belong to him. You belong to the family. Just like in your family or any family, there's responsibilities as part of the family. And there's relationships as part of the family. But here we see how the family of God is different from all other human relationships. It's bought by the blood of Christ. And that means something. It means something to you, and it means something to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul gives a perfect example of this. So I didn't want the book of Philemon to slide by here. What is it? Well, how do you characterize just about every other human relationship? The way the world works, worldly relationships are based on what, often enough? What's the defining characteristic of human relationships? Well, take this one between Philemon and Onesimus. Master and slave. Maybe you're in your own life. Employer, employee. Husband and wife. Wife and husband. Why do we do this? Huh? Father, daughter. Mother, son. What is this? In human relationships, most of the time, we define them in terms of power. Some of it's just power. Father, son, mother, daughter. It's supposed to be that way. God institutes some relationships that way. Human beings institute some relationships that way. Employer, employee. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing unjust about that. You might argue differently about slavery. Slavery in the Roman times was different than slavery in the American experience. It wasn't based on race, and if you were a bad servant, well, you could probably be treated as badly as you could here in the American South. If you were a good servant, you could be educated, you could own property yourself, you could even buy your freedom from your master. You could become a trusted member of the household. So Paul doesn't argue whether it's just or unjust, but what is he doing here? He's showing you how a Christian relationship is different. What's different about a Christian relationship? What does Paul seek to achieve here? He seeks to repair a relationship between Philemon and Onesimus, the slave. Onesimus, this pagan slave, who comes to Christ seeing the relationship that Paul has with Philemon. What's that relationship based on? Paul baptized Philemon and made him a brother in Christ. And Paul refers to him as Philemon's father in that case, spiritual father. You have a different relationship because of Christ with all the other people who are here. You belong to them, and they belong to you. And not as slaves, neither of you are slaves. You're both prisoners to Christ, but in a good way. In a way that releases you from the slavery of this world. We talked about the defining characteristic of many human relationships, just and unjust, often turns into a question of power. And we all want to be this one, not this one. How many of your relationships do you think of in terms of power? Even with someone you love, I got to get them to do this. Now I ask you, is every relationship in your life perfect? Somebody maybe is. Good for you. Well, maybe you know somebody that doesn't have a perfect relationship. Like Paul knew this relationship between Philemon and Onesimus was not perfect. Then you've got a role to play too. Now let's talk about Christian relationships. If power is often the defining characteristic of human worldly relationships, secular relationships, what is the defining characteristic of Christian relationships? Not power. If you want to have a relationship with God in terms of power, guess what that looks like? You can have that. But he offers you a relationship of love. That's the way he comes to you. And he shows it to you on the cross. That's how much he loves you. He gives his own son to die for you. Christ goes to the cross willingly for you, to suffer and die for you. For forgiveness. Love plays itself out in forgiveness. That's how Paul seeks to restore this relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. And that doesn't come easy. Love doesn't come easy. Forgiveness doesn't come easy. Talk about a give and take. Well, there's a give there. You're not called necessarily to do a cross yourself. In this country, anyway. But you're called to deny yourself a little bit. To show the that human compassion. Maybe to repent a little bit. Even if you're the one who's hurt, you're called upon to give up that hurt and forgive somebody. A very dear friend of mine had a very bad experience with her father. I mean, her father had many children from different women. And my friend was the oldest. And he left them in poverty, and in fact went to a different country. And she lived with this burden for years, decades really. And having a broken relationship with your father or a parent hurts. And it hurt for years. Now, years later, she went and found her father, who was living in a different country. I don't know how she tracked him down. She did. She went and she brought the love of Christ to him and said, "I forgive you for what you did." She had to give up that victimhood. And she had to forgive him. And she did. And it was a blessing to both of them. And he died recently, knowing that he had been reconciled, and not just with her, but with all of her siblings, in a way that only comes through forgiveness, through Christ. Now, is that a power relationship? No. That's the power of forgiveness. That's the power of love. What is that looking like in your life? Maybe it's a little thing. Jesus says, "The salt has lost its saltiness, what use is it?" Paul says to Philemon here in this letter, the word Onesimus, or the name Onesimus, by the way, in Greek means useful. So Paul makes a little play on words here. How is he useful to you, Philemon? He's useless to you as a runaway slave. He would be useful to me as a servant here. How useful is he to you as a brother in Christ? That's what is available to you. And Paul doesn't say with power, "I'm up here, you're up here, Philemon, listen to me, you got to do this." No, what does he do? He gives him an opportunity. He gives him an opportunity to act with grace and forgiveness, the way Christ has given forgiveness to you with grace. That is what it means to belong to the body of Christ. You have that opportunity in your life, in your relationships with other people. And helping others who are like this and can't see that, like Paul did. People notice. People notice little things. Maybe they're not so little. Yesterday, or this weekend, was the start of the college football season. I noticed. And mini games go on every Saturday, right? Well, let me tell you about one game. The University of Nebraska this summer had lost their punter. He was killed in a car accident with some other people. So, in their first game, Nebraska, they got the 4th and 4. Okay, first quarter, 4th and 4. Punting situation. They send out the punt team, except they send out 10 guys not 11. They line up in a punt formation without the punter. And they just stood there until the clock ran out. It took a delay of game penalty to remember their teammate who was no longer with them. He denied himself. People noticed that. Among all the other college games going on today, or yesterday, that's the one that gets mentioned. You wouldn't have noticed that if you weren't a Nebraska fan or a Fresno State fan. The Fresno State coach, seeing what he did, he declined the penalty. And the game went on. But people notice. People notice things like remembering someone in your life. People notice forgiveness and love because there ain't enough of it in this world. That's what you belong to. The Christian. That's what you belong to. Somebody with God's name on your forehead and on your chest, which nobody else can see except through love, forgiveness. And Jesus Christ our Lord. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.